came from the Dollar Tree. But God's not cheap. But I do believe he likes a discount. Can you say amen? And, well, you know what? I know we got some guests here, and I forgot to mention that. We're already taping, but that's all right. Maybe they don't want their name on TV, but we're glad to have Patrick Rice. Where's Patrick at? Patrick, we're glad you're here. Amen. Just don't pan the camera over to them. They don't want to be on. Wayne Dempsey. Where's Wayne at? Wayne, we're so glad you're here today. All the way from Stillwater. Glad to have you in the Sooner Nation today. The blessing of God. Where you been at? Amen. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to give everybody a little blessing today, and I just want you to get one. Can y'all do that? This is not Lay's potato chips. Can you just take one? Brother Mark, you're going to have to help me. Just give everybody one or so. Oh. Just one. Let me see. I'll help you on this side, okay? Here you go. Sorry about that. Just thought I'd help you on that side. Oh, we're going to have to go quicker than that, brother. Just start throwing it out, man, like Santa Claus. Just get one, pass it around. Hey, come back up here, man. Well, you're way too slow, brother.
Sorry.
Here's how you do it right here. See, watch this. Okay, here we go. Watch your heads. Everybody, watch your heads. Here we go. Watch your heads. Okay, everybody. Now, throw the blessings out. Throw the blessings out, okay? Give them all a blessing. All right, okay. We're going to get you the blessings there. Now, whoa, watch your heads. Everybody, look up, be alive. I done gave them, don't give them no blessings. They got blessed. They don't need any blessings over here. They need a lot of blessings over there. Okay. Now then, make sure everybody's got at least one. Oh, there's a few folk didn't get none. God has left you out of the blessing. Okay. Oh, we got blessing back. We need blessings back here. Whoa. Broke the TV. Praise God. Just kidding. Everybody got one? One. Who didn't get one? Anybody got two you can share with somebody else? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Look at all these people got more than one. That's all right. You can have more than one. Okay, I want to make sure everybody's got a blessing. You got a blessing? Everybody got a blessing. Is there one person here that does not have a blessing? Because it's the will of God, everybody in this church get a blessing today. One? We got one? I see that hand. Give it to her. Give her a blessing. Sister Lisa. Jesus said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen. Has nothing to do with the message. Just want you to know. I don't know. Amen. Okay, now everybody's got a blessing. Here's what I want you to do. And I really want you to really contain yourself with what you got. Because I don't want everybody to be chewing gum up in here, blowing bubbles and all that stuff while I'm preaching. Okay? But I want you to hold on to it. And I want you to carry it home with you. And I want you not to, you got to resist it. I want you not to eat it all week long, okay? You have permission next Sunday morning when you get up in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to eat it. But keep it for a week, okay? What's it have to do with anything? Well, I'll show you in just a minute. I want you to turn me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, O God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Now listen to this. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Is there any place there left out? All of the heavens are God's. All on earth is God's. Let's establish that. Thine is the kingdom. It's yours, Lord. O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come. Where'd you get your money from? Come from thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee. We didn't pay the light bill. I'm kidding, leave it off. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. We're here just for a moment. Y'all get that? Man, this is some real revelation that David is getting here. And there is none abiding, O Lord our God, all this store. And I messed up right here because I put something in there, but that's not the text's fault. That we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Is that it? You may be seated. I want to talk about something I don't talk about a whole lot. See, we have been, as one church, we're going on our fourth year. That's incredible to think that. Boy, our lives are like shadows. Can you say amen? And hardly do I ever really preach on anything when it comes to, like, money. And really, I'm not just preaching on money today. If you get that, then you didn't get it. Because all things in your life are the blessings of God. But I want you to keep in mind, as the Spirit of God touches your heart and my heart, and find out what area God wants to deal with. So just get this. It's not just about your money today. Because very seldom do I ever talk about money. And I should probably talk about money faster, to be honest with you. Some of y'all are slacking. I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't look at the records, okay? I'm just kidding about that. But I'm telling you this. Where your money is where your heart is. Where you put your money is where you put your heart. Or I should say, where your heart is, that's where you put your money. And also, what's in your heart, that's where you put your life. That's where you put your talents. That's where you put your time. I mean, everything in this world that we have belongs to God, and we're just the stewards. We don't own anything. Nothing. Nothing. A little boy was sitting there, and about as the offering came by, his mother gave him some money, and she said, put it in. He said, I want to put it in. I want to keep it. Amen. I'm going to keep it. She said, no, put it in. He said, Mom, I want to keep this money. She said, son, you better hurry and put it in because it's tainted money. Tainted money. Boy, that scared him. And man, he put it in and it went by. And he wiped his hands. It's tainted. And then she looked at him and said, let's get one thing straight, son. That money that was in your hand, tain't yours, tain't mine. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. And so everything in your life, if you don't give it to the Lord, is tainted. Understand that. Because it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Him. Now let me tell you a story that kind of just kind of takes this message and puts it in a capsule so you can relate to it, okay? Back in 1999, my youngest son, Simeon, was 6 years old. And we were going somewhere, and we stopped at a convenience store. We went inside, and he asked me, "Dad, can I get some bubble gum?" I said, "Sure, son." He looked down and said, "Dad, can I get the big pack of Hubba Bubba, amen." And I said, "Sure, son, get the big pack." So, man, he reached and got him a big pack, the jumbo pack. And he put it up on the counter. I paid the money. He put it in his pocket, got back in the car, jumped in the back seat. Me and Kalita were in the front seat. And there we went down the road. And all of a sudden, I got the idea. "Hey, son," I said, "give me a piece of that gum back here, up here." And he, to my astonishment, he jerked back and said, "No." I said, "What?" I said, "Give me a piece of that gum." He said, "No." So I pulled the car over and beat him half to death, and then took the whole pack. Amen. No, I'm kidding. It's just a joke. He finally gave me a piece under duress, but he did. But I got to thinking about that. I mean, I was surprised. I mean, he just wouldn't even give me one piece, and he had a big old jumbo pack, man. I didn't buy him the little bitty skimpy pack. I got him the big jumbo, and he wouldn't just give me one. And I thought, you know what? That really reflects a lot of our lives. Now, these are some of the things that I learned from this. Go ahead. Number one, my son doesn't have any idea that I'm the source of that gum, see? He's in the back saying, "I ain't going to give you nothing. Ain't, it's mine." But he doesn't understand. As I'm driving, I'm beginning to think about this. I thought, you know, does he not realize I'm the source of his gum? If it wasn't for me, he wouldn't have any gum at all. He asked me for it. I gave it to him. He said, "Dad, can I have some?" I mean, just 5 minutes up, you know, earlier than that, he didn't have any gum, and he took it to the counter, and I paid the money. I bought the pack, and there's only one reason that he has a pack of gum sitting in that back seat, and that is it was given to him by me. I bought it. So I'm the source of it. Second thing I started thinking and reflecting about, I have the power, being the dad, to reach and take the whole pack if I want to. Now, I was kidding a minute ago, but really, seriously, I had the power. Don't know if I do anymore, but hey, I did then. When he was 6, I did. When he's 6'4", I didn't. Amen. Don't tell him, okay? Still got my bluff in. But I had the power. And all I had to do is just pull over and stop and say, "Give me the whole pack. You ain't getting none of it, okay? Because I'm the dad." And then, let's see what point number 3 is. I go back to the counter and buy every pack they had. He didn't understand that. I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't normally have this kind of money in my pocket, but that particular day I had $2,000 in my pocket. A lot of bubble gum. I mean, really, I had $2,000 that day, cash money in my pocket, and I don't know why I had that much money. I don't know, so don't get any ideas, and don't jump me up to church because I ain't got it today, okay? But I want you to know something. If I wanted to, I could have went back. I could have buried my son in gum. Amen. I mean, I could just go back in there, get my own if I wanted to. And not give him any of it. And the rest of his life he could go without any gum. And then the fourth thing is, my son didn't realize I don't need his bubble gum. I didn't need his bubble gum. I mean, what really, you know, Is this something I really needed? No, it's not anything I needed. Like I said, I had $2,000. I could have bought all the gum I wanted to. I could have bought Juicy Fruit and Dubba Bubba and Hubba Bubba. And I could have bought all kinds of flavors, Tutti Frutti's and the Stripe kind and everything, the Chiclets and everything. Man, I could have bought the whole store out and I could have had it for myself. And so, but really, I didn't need a piece of gum. That's what my dentist said anyway. I didn't need a piece of gum. It's not that I just had to have it. I needed it so bad. And you know what? That's the way we look sometimes when God gives us the blessing. And we say no. You see, God's given you a lot of blessings in life. And everybody say amen. And you know what? I got to thinking, and this is probably the most important part, is that God gives us blessings, and every day we get blessings. And I'm not just talking about money. You know I'm not just talking about money. Thank God for money, but I'm not talking about money only. I'm talking about everything in your life is a blessing. I mean, everything that you've got that's good is a blessing, because all good things come down from God, the Heavenly Father above. But you see, here is the real crux of the matter. That is, when I reflect through the process of my son's inability to give me back some gum, knowing that I'm the source of the gum, I came to this conclusion, and that is I really didn't want his bubble gum as much as I just wanted his willingness to share it with me. That's what I really wanted. It's not, I mean, I first of all, kind of, you know, in the flesh, I kind of want a little piece of gum. I was going to kiss my wife in a little bit. Thought, you know, might tidy up on the breath a bit, you know, so I better forget the jokes today. It ain't working. But seriously, it wasn't so much that I wanted a piece of gum. I don't even like chewing much gum, but for some reason I just got a little, I want a little gum. But you know what? That's not really what I wanted when it was all said and done. When I went through this process, it wasn't so much that I wanted the piece of gum so I could eat it and taste good and feel good and get those endorphins flowing. No, I wanted his willingness to share it with me. And you know what? That's God. God just wants your willingness to share it with him. It's not so much that, you know, well, you know, you talk about 10%, 10%, 10%. Man, you see, you got to get your mind off that 10%, because if that's all you're thinking, you've boiled God down to just exactly what can I give and just, you know, be good with God. It's not about that. Do you know that? It's not about whether you give 10% or that. It's whether or not you're just willing to give. Say, I'm willing to give. Well, why aren't you giving then? It's easy to give what you don't have, but when you got something, it's harder to give it when you have it. If I would have asked my son before, hey, son, if I go in there and buy you some bubble gum, would you give me a piece of it? Yeah, Dad, I'll give you a piece of it. I'll give you two pieces of it. But once he had it in his hand, he felt like it was his, and it belongs to me, and you can't have any. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of folk in this world just like that. God has given us everything, and I'm not just talking about everybody that's saved, everybody that's not saved, everything they've got, everything. If you're in this service today and you're not a Christian, guess what? Everything in your life is a blessing from God. And God has taken us to the convenience store, and he's blessed us, and he's blessed you, and he's blessed me, and he's given us some bubble gum, if you please, and he's given us all kinds of different flavors, okay? And he sits down and just says, I want some fellowship with you. I want you to share it with me, not because I need it. I just want you to share it with me because I want you to have an attitude of giving, an attitude that it's not mine, that it all belongs to me, not you. Amen. And he reaches over and says, hey, give me a piece of gum. Offering plate comes by. Give me a piece of gum. And you say, no, I'm not giving nothing. We snap back. He's given us blessing. We pull back and say, no, these are mine. God said, don't they realize I'm the source? I'm the source of everything that you have, God says. I'm the source of everything that you ever hoped to have. You see, God wants to share with us, not because he's needy, not because he's hurting, not because, you know, he has something, you know, that he just really, he doesn't possess. He possesses everything. He lacks nothing. You understand that? All of us are all lacking. Somebody said this person has a problem. Well, we all got problems. Everybody say amen. Everybody's got problems with your mind. Starting to get problems in your body. Can't remember things. Man, I have the world. I'm the world's worst at remembering names. I don't know why that is. The world's worst at remembering names. And I know people for years, and I still can't remember the name when I try to say it. It's called a block, I guess. Some people take tests and get a block. I say a name, I get a block. But you know what? That just shows you that I have some deficiencies. I have some problems. My body is not a glorified body. My life is not in the Garden of Eden. And everything I have, yes, sir, God has blessed me with. But let me tell you something. We've all got these problems. But God has no problems. You know what? He never gets sick. He never gets a cold. He never has postnatal drip. He never gets a corn on his toe. He never has any kind of a problem. He's 100%. He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. He's everything. He's love. He's righteousness. And God is everything. He's all in all. He lacks nothing. Nothing. And God says, I want you to share with me. I want you to share with me. Not because he's hurting or needy, no. Because God says, I have my own, I don't need it. You think the money God gave you, and you think the talents that God gave you, and you think the time that God gave you, you think he needs that? He doesn't need time. He lives in eternity. He doesn't need talents. He spun the world on his axis. Try that one. He hung the world on nothing, Job said. Nothing. Go in the barbershop and try that with your hat. Your cap hanging on nothing. You can't do it. God can do it. He has talent, my friend. He has gifts. And the gifts of the Spirit flow through the church. And man, he has gifts beyond that you cannot even imagine. And so he has no needs. He has no wants. He has nothing. There's nothing insufficient about him. And so it's not so much that God is needy or hurting. But he wants us to be modeled. He wants to model us within himself. In other words, he wants us to be like him. God's a giver. One of the best verses in the Bible that we've all learned. And I know that everyone knows it. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But did you catch that first part? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And throughout the Bible, God is always giving. He's interested in our response. That's what he wants. He wants to know how we're going to respond to his blessings. And if we respond with it, it's not, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hang on to it. You'll let go of it sooner or later. Trust me on that one. You'll give it up one of these days. When he says, I want some of that back, or I want you to pass it down to another child, because see, I gave you two blessings, and that one behind doesn't have any blessings. You give him some of the blessing, or give her some of the blessings, and you say, no. Hello. See, stewardship's a matter of response. That's all it is. See, if we take no entitlement to it, okay? It's not entitled. We're not entitled to anything. You know that? Well, I deserve this because I'm a good guy. No, you're not such a great guy after all. Just ask your wife. Amen. Now, seriously, you're not. Everybody's not. We're not as good as we think we are. Matter of fact, the Bible said we're all sinners. I know we've been pushed in our minds and put in our psyche. You know, everybody's got good in them. The Bible said the heart is deceitfully wicked and desperately wicked, and who can know it? It doesn't matter who you are. Every one of you got murder in your heart. Did you know that? Oh, not me, preacher. Oh, yeah, you do. Because you've wanted to strangle somebody before. You've wanted to shoot somebody that cut in front of you. Got your parking spot. You see, you do. Every one of us has murder. Every one of us has lying in us. Who's ever told a lie? Rest of you, a bunch of liars. Amen. Well, you see, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so, you know, we can't say we're anything. And so what it is this. Everything God gave us, it belongs to him. You know, the salvation we have, it's not our salvation. It's his salvation. It's his salvation, full and free. And that's the tragedy of this world. God gives the world everything and blesses the world with blessings. He gives us air to breathe and sun that lights up our world and warms our vegetables and makes our plants come up and does all these things every day, and most of the days we don't even think about it. We just put it on autopilot and we just expect it. But let me tell you something. Everything you have in the physical, in the spiritual, everything belongs to God. He wants your response to be right. Well, it's mine. No, it's not yours. Let's look at this real quickly. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It says, verse 11. Notice the word all. All that is in heaven. All that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Leaves nothing out. Leaves not. It even reached down about 6 feet in that hole that you got in the back of your yard in that big, you know, that kind of copper looking whatever it is, container, and you got all that stuff. Nobody knows where it's at. It's mine. Yeah, somebody knows where it's at. God does. He knows exactly where it's at. And you know what? It's not yours. You've buried it, but it's not yours. It still belongs to God. You are a steward. You're a steward of every dollar God has given you. You're a steward of every minute that God has given you. You're a steward of every talent that God has given you. And if you're not using these things for the Lord, then I want you to know you're using them for you, and you're missing the point. They're not yours. Verse 16. Or verse 12, both riches and honor come from thee. Both riches and honor come from thee. And thou reignest over all. There's that word all again. All things come from thee. Riches and honor come from thee. Power and might are his. He gives strength and makes great. God is in control. And basically, he can give us bubble gum, or he can take that bubble gum away. Give me another scripture. I guess I jumped. 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to so offer willingly after this sort? For all things come from thee. Now, I want you to get the point this morning. I know I may not be just as dynamic as you expected this morning, but that's okay. I know I'm telling you what God wants you to hear. So I'm good. Amen. You know, preachers don't always hit a home run. Well, I thought I'd hear a few amens up in there. Thank you. Appreciate you. Sometimes we strike out. But I'm not striking out this morning. Because I'm telling God's wanting to talk to all of us about our lives and our stewardship and what he's given us. The temple we want to build, David said. All the store, the money cometh from thine own hand, and all is thine. Give me 16. Jumped ahead. All this store that we have prepared, all this money they were wanting to build a temple, and they started bringing their stuff in. It got to a place that David that said, you know, we've got enough. And I've never been in that spot before in my life. I like to be in a building program where we just start giving money, and I get up on Sunday morning and say, folks, okay, that's it. We don't have to give anymore. We got enough. That's what happened here. And he said, we're going to build you a house. We're going to build you a temple. And when we build it, they brought all the things that God had given them, the gold, the silver, the bronze. And we've taken it from thine hand, and then we've given it right back to thee. You see, what is he saying? Everything we got in the storehouse isn't ours. You gave it to us to begin with. You're the one that bought us a pack of candy or a pack of gum. And Lord, you gave it to us. Now we're just giving back to you. It's like my kids when we were little. Get up on Christmas, open something up. They just couldn't wait. Oh, you like it, Dad? Oh, I love it. Praise God. Man, they're only like 4 or 5 years old. They don't have jobs. Do you think they went up there with their credit card and said, hey, down here, me, here's my credit card. They have no money. I mean, kids are poor. I got news for you. They grow up and they're still poor. Amen. Still daddy. But I want you, they didn't The only reason they gave me a gift is because I gave them money to give it to me, okay? And so you know what I should do is take it up and look at it and say, thank you, guy, for that. Mm-hmm. You bought yourself a good little present for Christmas. No, I didn't do that at all. I just, you know, made them feel good. Yes, babies, this is good. I appreciate it. They felt so good. But I want you to know that's where we're at. God has given to us, David said. And because God's given us, we're able to give it back. And so really, you're not giving anything that you've got. Somebody said, man, I've got to give my money to God. No, it's not your money. You understand that? The money doesn't belong to you. Let me just go a little further. Your house doesn't belong to you. You think, this is my house. This is my domain. I got news for you. It's his kingdom, and it's his house, and it's his domain. And I want you to know everything belongs to him. That's my wife. No, she belongs to him. Huh. Well, that's my car. Oh, you ought to see my car. I'm very familiar, or I'm very, very blank. Amen. I like the car I drive. I really like the car I drive. But it's not my car. God lets me drive it. Sometimes he has to get out. Yeah. Guarding angels, but you know what? It's his car. You see what I'm saying? This church doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Everything belongs to all blessings come from God. Your job, your house, your car, everything came directly from the blessing of God. Now, Pastor, I've worked really hard for all the things I've got in this world. Yeah, you've worked real hard, but who gave you the strength to work it? Who gave you the brain to think the things out? Who gave you hands to put the things together that made you the money? I'm telling you, the money belongs to God. The job is God's. Your strength is God's. Everything belongs to God. That's why when we get to the end, we're going to have to give an account for everything we have done, everything we've said, everything in our lives. The rich man that built his barn so big, and then he filled them and said, well, I'm going to build me some bigger barns because of my prosperity. And I'm going to do this, and I that, and I this. And God said, thou fool, thou hast all these things. And he said, tonight your soul is required of you. You see, you didn't understand something. You didn't belong to you. Those barns weren't yours. All the grain and the corn inside the barns were not yours. All the cattle's not yours. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. The potatoes in the hills, the diamonds in the hills, even the rocks belong to God. We have nothing. We're like a bunch of poor kids. And thank God he gives us blessings. That's not that we worked hard for it. If we worked hard for it, he gave us the strength to work hard. Amen? I heard about it. A guy came into his wife and said, baby, I'll tell you something. We can finally do it. She said, what? What are you talking about? You know, we've been saving this money since 1979. And we got enough now. You're serious? He said, I'm serious, baby. We got enough. Been saving since 1979. This is a good day. She said, oh, let's go to the Cadillac dealership. We're going to get us a new Cadillac. He said, no, baby, we're going to get us a 1979 Cadillac. Anyhow, told you my jokes aren't too good this morning. Who gave you the energy? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the abilities? Who gave you the job? God did. And you say, I'm saving money. Well, you're saving God's money. Well, when you sit back and reflect, there's nothing I possess that God didn't give me. I mean, nothing, absolutely nothing I have in this life. And when I understand God is the source of everything I have and everything you have and everything we have, I should say, he delights when we have the attitude that we're willing to give it back or willing to bless somebody else that doesn't have what we have. There's a lot of people, you know, they don't have any bubble gum, all right? I mean, if they need some bubble gum, they like bubble gum just like you like bubble gum. And you got so much bubble gum that you don't know what to do with it. Well, I tell you what to do with it. Maybe you ought to give it to somebody else. Bless someone else. Well, doesn't it amaze you that we sometimes act like 6-year-old kids refusing to share? God gives us a big jumbo pack of bubble gum. And he just asks for one piece. And you say, no! No! Can't do that, God. Because we have such a limited, immature understanding that everything we have was His in the beginning. Amen. Now, is there any greater delight as a parent, if you have kids, to see your kids share? I always love to see my kids share. Back when we lived in Arkansas, there was a little boy who used to come up to the house, and we could tell he was how'd I say it? He rode the short bus. Not politically correct, okay, forgive me. He lacked one enchilada having a whole combination plate. Give it up, man. Just give it up. And I could tell, we could tell he was poor. Now, we were poor. But, man, when poor people call you poor, you're poor. Somebody say amen. So he's really poor. And we watched him. He'd always come up and he'd play like he's playing football all the time. And he'd throw his invisible football and catch it and run. And one day, and he'd come up and Silas would play with him, you know, with the football. Man, it was just made his day when he played with a real football. And one day, I didn't even think about it, but my son Silas came to me and said, Dad, when that kid comes over again, he said, Dad, I got four or five footballs. Can I give him one of them? I said, can you give him one of them? Absolutely, you can give him one of them. Give one of them to him. Sure enough, one day he came over here. He comes down the street. He's acting like he's catching a ball. My son walked out there, and he handed him a football and said, that's yours. Oh, you could. If you'd have gave him $1 million, he wouldn't have been more happy. I'm telling you, he had a real football now. It wasn't imaginary anymore. But let me tell you something. That boy was real, real happy. He was a poor kid, didn't have nothing. All of a sudden, he got a football, and I want you to understand that he was happy about that. And then I looked at my son, and my son was happy about it. I said, thank God. He's learning that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because he had four. Five, the boy didn't have anything, so why not just give him one of them? That's pretty good understanding of the gospel. Can you say amen? And he was getting it at about 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. But I want you to know who had the most joy in that situation was not the little boy. It wasn't my son, but it was me, the father. I thought at least I'm modeling in him what I believe a Christian ought to be. And I want you to know it brought me the most joy. Can I tell you, when we give to God, and it doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you just give something to somebody down the street because they need it. I want you to understand something. They are blessed and they're happy about giving it. And guess what? The one that receives is happy about giving it. But you know who likes it the most? You know who gets the most joy out of it? If you're a Christian, God does. Because God is pleased with your attitude. Amen. I invited some folks here. I don't think they're here today, but we had to put out a deal on the internet. I don't know how it happened. Or maybe we got a call that somebody needed a tent. That's going to get kicked out of the house, something like that. I don't remember the whole story. So we put it out there that we needed a tent. Anybody have a tent? And somebody responded to it. Called my wife, made arrangements, went by to get the tent. Y'all ain't here today, are you? I guess not. I don't have my glasses on. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But man, they came out with that tent, and I could tell they didn't have a whole lot themselves. The car was on its last leg. It was telling me all this, but they never asked me for anything. They never said, hey, you know, can we borrow some money from you? No, they were. You couldn't believe how happy these people were. They had a little tent, and they were so overjoyed with the fact they were able to give it. And I tell you what, I was just so overjoyed just because of their attitude. Then we took it to the guy that needed the tent. And he was so happy to get it. But I want you to know, I really believe that the Lord Himself was more pleased than any of us. Because God is a giver. God gives and He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives. And then we say no. Well, let me just give you some truth about God, giving to God, okay? Our giving to God, real quickly. Three truths about giving to God. God's power. That's His ability to give. See, first we got to ask ourselves, does God have the ability to give when we have a need? Does He? Yes. God has the ability to give to you and I a blessing when we need that blessing, whatever that blessing may be. Number two, God's provision, his willingness to give. See, God is always willing to give to us. God is always willing to bless us. He's never selfish. He's self-sufficient, but he's never selfish. And when he gives it to us, guess what? Now, let me tell you something. You're a conduit. Do you know that? You're a steward. You're a manager. That means that you cannot say it's mine. It belongs to him. So what he does, he blesses us with blessings. And what do we do with those blessings? Well, number one, he has the power. He's given us, he has the ability to give to us. And that's why we got anything. And then he gives us that provision. That's his willingness to give. Would you send your child to the store and say, hey, go up there and get me a gallon of milk. And not give him any money? Got to. He probably owes you a lot. But anyhow, just kidding. You would never, no one would do that in their right mind because, they wouldn't have it. It wouldn't happen. Would God ask you to go through some trial or some difficulty without giving you grace and wisdom and power and strength to go through it? If he's asking you to go through it, if you're here today and you're really discouraged and you're really down and you wonder, does God even care? God really cares. He does. He does. And he's not going to make you go through what you're going through right now without giving you what you need, the blessing of God. And that blessing may not be money. It might just need to be wisdom, because he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. Maybe you just need some wisdom to get through your trial. You need some understanding. You need something that you don't have. Well, let me tell you something. What you don't have, God has plenty of, and he will bless you, and he will give to you, and if you'll respond to him. Amen. See, when people come and say, Pastor, pray for me, I need wisdom in my life, I've got this decision to make, and I can confidently look at them and say, listen, God will give it to you. God said he'd give you wisdom, because he opens up the door and gives you the resource. Amen. And number three, God's partnership, his reason to give. This is why we're blessed. Number one, because God is able to bless us. He has the ability to bless us. And number two, his provision means he's willing to give to us. He's got more than he's got everything. Not just more than he'll ever need. He's got everything. He doesn't need anything. But he's willing to give to us. And then number three, the reason he blesses us is so we'll partnership with him. That's the reason why he even blesses us. He's not trying to build you a kingdom. He doesn't try to build you some financial, kingdom where everybody looks up at you. You've got everything. You don't have anything, to be honest with you. You have nothing. But he wants you to partnership with him. See, this is where they miss it. This is where the rich cats miss it. Amen. Those that are filthy rich. I told you last Sunday night, poor people came up with that term, filthy rich. About done. God's partnership. That's his reason to give. And he wants to give. But you got to be willing to give. Would you be as giving as he is if you had all that he had? Doubt it. Heard about a guy that kind of not given to the church, and he had some cows, and preacher said to him, now I'd never say this to you because I don't look at the books, I don't know who pays tithe, so I can look you right in the eye and say, you need to be paying your tithe and giving in offerings. He's preaching to me. Only if it's hitting you. Amen. But I don't know who does. I don't really know. But this pastor did, and he went to the guy and said, listen, man, we really need some help in the church. And we really need an offering, and you hadn't been given in a while. He said, I tell you what, as soon as I sell that calf, I'm going to sell me a calf. When I sell that calf, I'm going to give to the church. Well, weeks went by, months went by, I never sold that calf. And so he's coming to church one day. He's approached the church a little bit late. And he heard the choir singing, the half has never yet been told. and thought from a distance, he couldn't believe his ears. He thought they were singing, "The calf has never yet been sold." His conscience was stricken. Immediately went home after church, sold the calf, and gave the money to the church. I pray to God that God will smitten your conscience if you have the attitude, "It's mine, and I'm not giving nothing to nobody because I've got to have much for myself." Let me tell you something. If you want more, you got to give. Amen. I don't mean that you give a dollar and God gives you a hundred. You know, I don't believe in that, but God will give you blessing, blessing, blessing. Amen. You see, here's two things. We want resources we don't need sometimes. There's a problem. Here's the problem. Here's a twofold problem. Number one, we want blessings sometimes we really don't need. I mean, there's things we need, but there's other things we don't really need. And I've got to ask God with faith, God, do I really need this? And you know, let me tell you something. In your darkest hour, God will be there. Me and Mark's talking about this the other day. If you were a martyr for Christ, you say, "I don't know if I could do that." Well, right now, you probably couldn't do it. If they came in here and decided to take your life or recant Christ, then you probably could. But right now, you probably couldn't. But you know why? Because God will give you what you need at the time that you need it the most, all right? And sometimes we want things we don't really need at the moment, and we wonder, God, how come you won't give it to me? Because you don't need it right now. But when you need it, guess what? God will be there, and God will give you exactly what you need. So just hang in there. God gives you what you need when you need it. It's just a matter of trusting God. And number two, another problem we have is that God only gives us what we need when we need it. Sometimes we want things we don't really need. Sometimes we got to understand God only gives us things what we need when we need it. Remember the manna that fell from heaven? Came every day. He said, "But don't gather it up. If you try to gather it up, it'll spoil. Tainted. It'll get tainted. Taint yours, taint mine. Comes from God above." And so he said, "Just eat it that day. I'll give you some tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread." Our daily bread. God bless you. You're worrying about tomorrow. I'm not saying you shouldn't wait or you shouldn't put up for retirement. I'm not saying that at all. You ought to have a little wisdom and consider the ant. I'm not in any way saying that, but I'm just saying most of the time we live our lives for tomorrow and we wonder, is God going to bless us tomorrow? We're not even in the tomorrow yet. I'm telling you, God's blessing me right now. Amen. God's blessing all of us right now. And if he's blessing me today, God, give us this day our daily bread when I need it. I need it today. And so God gives you what you need today, and he doesn't give you what you need tomorrow until tomorrow gets here. Amen. All right. Better come back. Better come back. I want you to partnership with him. God gives us so we can turn around and give it to others and give some of it back to him. Because God is in partnership. He wants us to be like him. He's a giving God. Now look at your life. Look at every area of your life. There's some things that are not sin that we spend so much time on. We give it so much time. So much energy. Nothing wrong with it. But I'm just saying, where are your priorities? Where are the priorities? That's the question. And I'm not going to take time to read it, but Matthew chapter 25, we've touched on that many times. And in context, yes, it does definitely mean during the tribulation time, but there is a principle here. And the principle is that God wants you to give to others, because when you give to others, you give to God. And when you don't give, guess what? You're not giving to God. We're accountable to God for what he's given us. So giving to others is giving to God. And not giving to others that's in need. I'm talking about in need is not giving to God. Is it interesting that God so cares for man that he wants to live through me? To give to them. Amen. Because he said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When you were in prison, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. Lord, when were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When did were you in prison and naked? He said, if you've done it to the least, you've done it unto me. Let me read you this. Jerry Cavan had a successful restaurant chain. This is a true story. He had a successful restaurant chain, two banks, a ranch, a farm, and real estate ventures. At 59, Jerry was searching for a nice lakeside retirement home, but the Lord, his owner, had other plans. God, and this is his quote, God led us to put our money and time overseas. Jerry said, it's been exciting. Before we gave token amounts. Now we put substantial money into missions. We often go to India. And then he was asked, what changed his attitude toward giving? And the answer came back quickly. Once we understood that we were giving away God's money to do God's work, we discover a peace and a joy we never had back when we thought it was our money. It's not. We're so incomplete without one another. We're so incomplete without God. There are certain gifts that God has given me that I have to give to you to help you. And that's like a husband and wife. We're incomplete till you get married. She's the better half. Always, she's always the better half. But it's to complete the man and to complete the woman. And God puts us together as a congregation. And he's given me gifts. And I know I have very few, but I do the best I can. And he put me here. And so I'm trying to give it to you. And I'm giving you my talents, my gifts. And I'm praying for you. And you know what? You've got gifts and talents that you're giving to one another. And as we give, we complete our... You see what I'm saying? We all complete one another. That's God's plan. He made us. He created us. And it's so hard in this twisted world to be filled with absolute greed and selfishness to understand a sermon like this. But are you willing? Are you willing? I close with a little story. Another true story. One day a lady, she went into the grocery store. She bought her groceries and she was coming out of the grocery store. When she got to her car, there was four men sitting inside. She dropped her groceries. She reached in her purse. She was a concealed carry person. Member of the NRA. And she pointed the gun at him and said, I want you to know, I know how to shoot this gun. You should get out of my car immediately. Man, they didn't say nothing. They jumped up, ran out the other side of the car, all four of them. Man, they were running. Boy, she felt good about that. Put the groceries in the back of the car, sit down in her car. And then she realized something. This is not my car. Oh, she knew she was in trouble then. So she drove herself right on down to the police station, and she went inside to turn herself in. So she went up to the counter. Sergeant came to the counter and said, can I help you, ma'am? She said, yes, sir, I need to turn myself in. I've broke the law. So what did you do? Well, I pulled a gun on these four men, and I thought it was my car, but it wasn't my car at all. Threatened them. The sergeant started laughing. And when he finally got control of himself, he said, ma'am, you see those four men down there on the corner of this counter? Yeah. They came in to give a report of about a 65-year-old lady with gray hair and about 4'11", about the same height you are. Pulled a gun on them and carjacked them. And he hollered for him, and he said, "Is this the one?" He said, "That's the woman." And then everything was explained, and everybody shook hands. There was no charges filed. But she learned a very valuable, important lesson. The car that she thought was hers was not hers. And guess what? The car that she thought was theirs was not theirs. The car was God's. It's God's. And you know what? The money, the time, the talent, the skills that God has given you, they're not yours. You see these beautiful panels on the wall? It's because Brother Bo has a skill. He's not here today, but he has a skill. And you see, that's his skill. It's not my skill. I tell you what, if it's left up to me, you would see holes in the walls. You'd see them crooked. You'd see, you know, some probably up on the ceiling. I mean, I just can't do it. I don't have them kind of skills, but he has those kind of skills. And look what he did for the Lord. Amen. And other of you have skills and talent. They have skills and talents on the instruments and singing and worshiping. I don't have those skills and talents to play guitars and pianos and drums. But I want you to know these people do. And they're playing it unto the Lord. So what I'm saying is God gave you a talent. God's given you some skill. God's given you a life. What are you using it for? Are you using it for yourself? Are you using it for the glory of God? Because it's not your life and it's not the life that you thought. It all belongs to Him. So let's just rewind just 1 minute. Let's drive back down that road. Hey, son, how about a piece of that gum? Sure, Dad. I wouldn't have it if you hadn't bought it for me. Besides that, Dad, you could probably take it away from me. And Dad, I know you really don't need a piece of gum. And I saw that little roll in your pocket. I know you could buy a whole lot more gum than that. So look, here, Dad, let me give you a piece of gum. Maybe if I give him two pieces of gum, he'll stop again. Amen. And that's where we come to. It's not about giving to a certain preacher or a certain ministry. It's about having a giving heart. Those guys on television are telling the truth, because if they were telling the truth, then they wouldn't have to do all those telethons they do. They just start giving their money out and it all come back to them. You see what I'm saying? So it's not about that. It's about your spirit. It's about your attitude. It is about the resource that God has given you, and you're a steward of it. Now make the most of it. Will you do that? And I want you to take that piece of gum home with you, and I want you, every time you look at it, think that's God's blessing. That's God's blessing. Belongs to Him. I'm not going to eat it this week because it belongs to Him. And I wouldn't have it unless He gave it to me. I'm just going to give it back to you, God. Father, today.